What? Kind of awkward. Kind of awkward, right? Okay. All right. Now, just do what I do, okay? You do what I do. Okay, lift your left arm up, put your right arm down, and clap your hands. Wasn't that better? Okay, keep clapping and have a seat. Good job. There's something about being able to follow a model, isn't there? I'll confess right now, I listen to country music. Any country music listeners out there? People, some even proud about it. Wow, okay. So there's, you know, this country song. It says, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that true? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be like you. You know that? Okay. Who is it? Rodney Atkins. I don't know authors. Eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. Yeah, we're just alike now, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do because I've been watching you. I've been watching you. So we're actually going to look at just one verse this evening. But from that verse, I want to highlight five important truths about discipleship that hopefully we can apply to our lives. So here's a verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. It's up there on the top of those notes. I see I have to follow these notes because they're given to you. Top of the notes, 2 Timothy 2:2. One of my favorite verses, quite honestly. It's funny because at lunch I was talking to Nick about never read one Bible verse. Here I am talking about one Bible verse. But I believe it's in context, and if it's not, you can test me on that later. 2 Timothy 2:2. You know, all the T scriptures are together. Do you know that? The 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus. So here, just find all the T's are together if that's helpful for you. 2 Timothy 2:2, a letter written from Paul to Timothy. And verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And he goes on to say in verse 2, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men, will be able to teach others also." So that's what I want to look at and talk about, that five principles that come out of that. I have three guests that I brought with me, and they're going to share just a couple minutes in the middle of my talk here and there. But these three guys up front, Aaron and Abby and Charlie, have committed to a year of serving the Lord, and of really they've just come back from 40 days of training, and they are committing to work with and train and disciple high school students in this area in the next year. So they've taken a year of their life, a year on mission, to prepare for a life on mission. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like they're living this verse out, and I wanted them to come and share a little about with that too. So just so you know, when they come up, you know who these guys are. All right, the first part, the things which you have heard from me, first section of that. The truth, first truth you have on your notes there: listen, learn, and live it out. The things which you have heard from me. Paul is saying that to Timothy. And I think there, we've got to think, what have we heard? Paul says, the things you've heard from me. What have we heard already? We've got to be grounded first. Another, probably my other favorite verse, is from Colossians 2, 6, and 7. And I wrote it on here. You can look it up just a little before Timothy. But Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." There's a sense of being firmly rooted. We have to have our roots and be established. And what should we be established in? Where does that come from? Paul says, "The things that you've heard from me." So Timothy learned this from Paul, a great teacher to learn from. So we got to, first of all, you know, listen, learn, and live it out. First, we have to listen to good things. We got to make sure our roots are going into good soil and make sure that we're getting good teaching. And then as we have that, our roots in that deep soil, then we need to be constantly nourished. Now, I have a few other verses from the Timothys that I want to highlight. So one is from 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. And Paul said to Timothy again, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." You're constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine. So those are the things we're to be nourished in as we're listening. What are we listening to? Making sure we're listening to good things. Now, where do we find those words of the faith and the sound doctrine? You know, what are the things that Timothy heard from Paul? First and foremost, he heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's portrayed in lots of ways and places. But specifically, since we're in the books of Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2, starting at verse 8, Paul reminds Timothy of this. And I think, how many times did Paul tell Timothy about the gospel? And he says, remember, 2 Timothy 2:8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Well, there's a lot you could unpack in every one of those things, but remember that he is a risen Savior, but he's descended from the line of kings, from David, according to my gospel. He says, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. There's the gospel in a core. Regardless, you know, the actions that we make a difference, but God cannot be faithless. He is a faithful God. He cannot deny himself. So what were the things that Timothy heard from Paul? First of all, the gospel. But Paul also gave him a pattern or a standard to follow. And he says that in 2 Timothy 1:13. He said, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, or the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, he says, I've given you a pattern. And what's included in that pattern? First of all, doctrine, which is orthodoxy. It's right beliefs. And what we believe matters. And that was one of the things in the verse I read before, 1 Timothy 4:6, be nourished in the sound doctrine. Our beliefs matter, and what we believe affects our life. So doctrine is important, and Paul gave Timothy a pattern to follow after that. But he also gave him a pattern of conduct. Another word for that is orthopraxy. So orthodoxy is right belief. Orthopraxy is right living, living it out in a right way. And Paul gave him an example. So we see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. He says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God. See, his conduct is important. You have to conduct yourself in the household of God. Why is that important? Keep going, because the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. Why is right conduct important? Because the pillar and the support of the truth is the church of God. The way that we live should be the foundation for the right beliefs, for the orthodoxy. And if our living does not line up with our actions, there's going to be a fault line, and it's going to break apart. And so those things matter. Those are the pattern that Paul gave Timothy, conduct and doctrine. But Paul also encouraged Timothy to know his scriptures. And another great memory verse, if some of you haven't memorized already, is 2 Timothy 3:14 through 16. It's a great verse. I'll go through 17, because we have the scriptures before us. And sometimes we might get discouraged as we read God's word, and we might say, some things are harder to understand than others. Honestly, the Timothy books are really easy. Those are easy ones to understand, but some are harder. But Paul said this to Timothy. He said, and starting verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you have learned to become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So you remember who you learned them from. You remember your roots. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture. Paul was talking about the Old Testament when he wrote that. So all scripture is profitable and useful. God can use it for training. And so what did Paul give Timothy? He gave him the scriptures. In scriptures, we find the words of sound faith and of sound doctrine. In scripture, we hear the gospel. In scripture, we learn the pattern of right beliefs and right living. And then Timothy is instructed to continue and the things he's learned. So you've got this foundation, you've got this pattern, then continue in them, what you've been learned and been convinced of, and then remember who you learned them from. Now Titus, I won't go a lot into Titus, but a similar disciple of Paul's, he was instructed to hold fast, I just love that term, hold fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. Now hold on tight to that. Don't let it go. It's a prize. It's a treasure. So we talk about listen, learn, and live it out. Listen. Listen before you speak. And we have two ears God gave us and one mouth. There's a reason for that. So we should be doing at least twice as much listening as we are speaking. Listen before you speak. Learn. Learn before you teach. Don't try and teach something you haven't learned yet. It's going to not turn out well. And thirdly, live it out. Live it out before you try and be a model for somebody else. And I'm talking about modeling and discipling, but we got to live it out. We got to live it out and then be a model. Well, what is the goal of our instruction as we listen, learn, and live it out? The goal of our instruction, again, Paul told Timothy that in 1 Timothy 1:5. He said, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. If we could focus on those things, I know that anything we do would be useful to God. Love, a pure heart. Lord, how can I keep my heart pure? A good conscience. Is my conscience clean? Am I ready to go before the Lord? And a sincere faith. Am I living out my faith in sincerity, not just when people are watching, but it was just me and God? Do I have a sincere faith? So the first truth, listen, learn, and live it out. Okay, the second part of that verse, in the presence of many witnesses. So here's the second truth. In the presence of many witnesses, truth number two, be out in the open. Be out in the open. Let me give you a little background I found on Timothy and Paul and their life, and then give you a little context behind that. So Timothy was a young man. He joined Paul on his second missionary journey when he was in the city of Lystra in Galatia. That's from Acts 16. His mother Eunice was a Jew, and his father was a Greek. Paul was probably the person who led Timothy to the Lord, and perhaps it was on Paul's first trip there in Acts 14. So Paul took Timothy with him and then spent 3 years preaching and teaching in Ephesus and the surrounding area on his third missionary journey. These guys are doing a lot of things together. After Paul's trip to Jerusalem for the Passover, Paul was sent to prison in Rome. While in prison in Rome, Paul wrote his letter to the church at Ephesus, and Timothy was present with Paul in Rome when he wrote those four prison letters. And after Paul's release from that imprisonment, he and Timothy visited the churches around Ephesus and ministered there for some time. Paul left for Macedonia, and Timothy stayed on at Ephesus. So Paul hoped to return soon, but he wrote him encouraging him in the ministry. That's where we got the letter from. And a similar thing happened with Titus. So what's going on here? First of all, how did Timothy get to see Paul? Live out in the open. What does that mean? First of all, he got to see him preaching and teaching in Ephesus. In other words, he got to see him when he was on duty, right? When he's kind of doing his formal ministry, when he's out sharing with people. And Timothy got to see how Paul did that. But they also traveled together on that third missionary journey. So Timothy got to see Paul while traveling. I do some leadership training with an organization called Tent Makers, and there is a lead trainer. She's honestly probably the best trainer in the whole world. She leads, she in fact just got back from Germany, leading training in Germany for 2 weeks, people around the world. And I've been with her, I've seen her in formal settings, but this summer we went together to California to do a one-week training, training more trainers. And I was with her, and I got to see how she travels. You know what you learn about people when they travel? You learn about, what kind of food they like, what kind of books they're reading. You learn about how they interact with the people on the airplane. You learn about how they treat other people when they don't get enough sleep and they're dealing with jet lag. You learn about a whole lot of situations you don't learn when you just kind of come and watch someone speak. I mean, if you just met me tonight, you don't know a whole lot about me. I'm just a talking head up here. Unless you come and hang out with my six kids. Or it's Krista. He's like, where'd Krista go? He's like, that's what you remember about when she came to visit. I remember you have six kids running around. So you get a feel for that. When you travel with somebody, you really learn a lot. So Timothy got to see that. So living out in the open. What else? Paul was in prison in Rome. and Timothy was with him. Now what does Timothy get to see? He gets to see Paul when things aren't going well. Here he is in prison. What's his attitude like now? Timothy gets to see that, living out in the open. Then they wrote letters together. Timothy got to see how Paul wrote letters and encouraged others. He privily spent time with. And then they went and visited more churches around Ephesus together. So Timothy got to see how Paul interacted with those churches, how he encouraged him, what he said, what he did, what he didn't say, what he didn't do. Sometimes that's just as important. What's my point here? My point is that Timothy and Paul did not meet just once a week to study scriptures together. It went a lot deeper than that. They spent time in public, in private, while working, while living, while traveling, in hardship and in joy. And I can't help but think of Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. It's an admonishment to parents with their children, but I think we can take that into the spiritual realm as well. It says, "These words, which I am commanding you today," Moses wrote, "shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them." When should you do this? When should you teach and talk of them? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. All the time, in all of your life. That's when it should happen. So be out in the open. Charlie's going to share with us something about that. So, be out in the open. Truth number two. All right, third part. Entrust these. I can get a point out of two words. How do you feel about that? Entrust these. Truth number three. You'll like this one. Trust the teaching of truth. Sorry, going for alliteration for you. Trust the teaching of truth. So entrust these. And I think entrust what? Well, the very things we were taught. So we talk about being rooted and grounded, making sure we're learning the right things, and then being constantly nourished. And then we've been given a pattern, and then we're told to continue to hold fast to that teaching. Then it's time to entrust these very things to others. Entrust these. And what we've been entrusted with is a treasure. It's 2 Timothy 1:14 literally calls it that. Oh, look at there, 2 Timothy 1:14. It says, "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." This is, if you read this in order, which I encourage you to, I'm jumping around, but, it's been entrusted to you. And then about 5-6 verses down, it says, entrust these things to faithful men. So what have we been given, this great treasure that we have been given to entrust to others? What's my real point in this? Trust the teaching of truth. It's this. Don't try and change the teaching. You don't have to try and make it cool or easy. Just transfer it the way you learned it. Now, what I'm not saying here, I'm not saying that every generation doesn't need to change and modify the gospel in a way that makes it relevant to their generation, to the current cultural situation, because that does need to happen. But sometimes I think the body of Christ just tries way too hard to make things just trendy instead of trying to be faithful. And I think we have to recognize that we cannot improve on God's word. We cannot improve on the gospel. And just trust it. Trust the teaching of truth. And know that it's going to come out right in the end. God doesn't need us to improve on his good news. So we can trust the teaching of truth. All right. Fourth point. To faithful men. To faithful men. So truth number four is this. Find faithful fellows. And Aaron's going to share a little something. Okay, I did not pay him to say that, just so you know. I remember the rest of the story behind dinner. Like, we were meeting downstairs. I was waiting for my wife, and she usually comes down or sends a kid down and tells me dinner is ready. So I'm like, oh, she'll get me when dinner's ready. So I just kept talking with Aaron. But it was good. You know, obviously God was in that, because later she came down, and she's like, "Man, I kept waiting for you to come up." And I was like, "Well, I was waiting for you to tell me when dinner is ready." So, yeah, God was in that. There was... I remember when, how do you find faithful fellows? Truth number four. I remember when Aaron came to that meeting, and I was thinking, I wonder where this guy's at in his faith. I did want to just get to know him better, and see. And what was I looking for? Some things to pay attention to, look for. How do you identify faithful men? I was looking for this. Is there a love for Jesus? Is there an active prayer life? Is there a knowledge of God's word? Is there a love for people? Is there a servant heart? Is there a willingness to be accountable? Now, that's a great list, but I tell you what, some people are like, well, I don't know that I was there. If I asked Aaron, I don't know if he would say that he would have checked those things off on his list. So let me tell you probably one of the most important thing, more than any of those, is look for someone who's teachable, someone who has a hunger to learn. I know you've used the acronym FAT around here before, for fat people, flexible, available, and teachable. These are the kind of people to look for. Well, how do you find them? It's really simple. You pray for God to bring those faithful men and women to you, and then you look for them. That sounds really simplistic, but sometimes we pray, and we don't actually think God's going to answer our prayers. Pray, and God will send them to you. Every day I pray for the Lord to send more workers for the harvest, from Luke 10:2. It's in Matthew 9:38 too. Every day I pray for that. So now I have to ask myself, if I'm praying for that, Lord, and when you send workers, am I ready? So I think it's the same thing about finding people to disciple. I'm praying for, and if I'm praying for, am I looking for them? Because God will send them to you. He will send them to you. So that's how you find them. So are you praying for them? Are you looking for them? That's truth number four. Find faithful fellows. The last part of the verse then, truth number five, who will be able to teach others also? The last part of it, who will be able to teach others also? So truth number five, the proof is in the passing. The proof is in the passing. Abby's going to share. So the proof is in the passing. Sometimes we think, you know, I think about being able to teach others also. You think, well, I'm not gifted in teaching. I don't have that spiritual gift. And that's not what this verse is talking about. Timothy, Paul is not talking to Timothy like these are instructions only for Timothy, although he did write the letter only for Timothy. But he's not saying like you have to be this gifted teacher to be able to do this. What it's saying is that as a faithful follower of Jesus, we need to be able to pass on what we've learned. So that applies to everyone. Every one of us should be passing on our faith. It's not just for those gifted teachers. So let me encourage you, if you're not already, let me implore you. I don't know if there's a better way, nothing more fulfilling, better way to invest your life than in others who will pass that on to others who you may never get to meet. If you want to leave a legacy, how do you leave a legacy? You could have a building named after you, but it's going to crumble. You could have a bench or a tree or a plaque dedicated in your honor. You could become a great part of a great sports team and win a trophy, and it could get stuck in a trophy case somewhere. But all those are eventually going to rot and fade and die. You could have half a dozen kids like I do, grow your family tree. But you know what? A few generations from now, just going to be another name in a dusty family album. But if you want to invest in something, invest in the eternal, the spiritual lives of those that God has put in your life, you will be remembered for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of legacy I want to leave in my life. So maybe you're convinced, and maybe you're already doing it, and this is just a great reminder for you, but maybe it's still intimidating. You think, gosh, I don't know hardly anything. I don't believe that there's a more important ministry to be involved in than discipling someone else. And I know Navigators has a ton of resources and helps for you along the way to help you launch into the discipling mission. I'll pray that you take it on, because really the proof is in the passing. The proof is in the passing. So 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which you have heard from me, listen, learn, and live it out. In the presence of many witnesses, live it out in the open. Entrust these, trust the teaching of truth, the faithful men, find faithful fellows who will be able to teach others also. The proof is in the passing. If we abide by these five truths, I believe we will see multiplication of God's kingdom. And that's what I want to pray for. right now. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you've put within our hearts. Thank you for your son that you sent for us. Thank you, Lord, for the people that you've put in our lives, the people that have mentored us and discipled us and poured into us. Lord, sometimes it's very intentional and very deep. Sometimes it's just small encounters, a one-time encounter. But Lord, you use all of those things within our lives to bring us to where we are. But Lord, now I pray that as we have been blessed with so many spiritual blessings in this life, I pray, Lord, that we would pass those on to more people, that we would, that you would send to us the people that you want us to work with, that you would put people in our lives, Lord, who we can disciple, who we can speak truth into. I pray, Lord, that you open up those opportunities and in our dorm rooms and in our classes, as we're walking down the street, as we're working, Lord, that you would open those doors for us, that we could be faithful in what you've given us and pass it on to others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.